What's up, everybody? Welcome to the KT Talk Show, formerly known as Connect with KT. Wanted to let you guys know the app and program that I use for my podcast. This is a completely free program where you can download and record and edit your podcast for free. There is an app that's free, and you go to anchor.fm to use it online on your laptop. There's a creation tool on there where you can edit. And also, there is no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And remember, you can download the free app or go to anchor.fm. Another thing to remember is I am now on the HeartGrid Network, which is on captivate.fm. We are currently working on putting all our episodes on all platforms, including Spotify and Apple, so make sure to listen to us on there as well. If you guys don't already know, the KT Talk Show is now on the HeartGrid Network. The HeartGrid Network is now on captivate.fm, and we are working on moving all our episodes to all other podcast platforms like Spotify and Apple. So be sure to check us out, the KT Talk Show on the HeartGrid Network, and other shows that you can find there as well. Everybody, welcome to the KT Talk Show. I have Ursula on here again this evening. We actually had recorded a previous episode, but the technology that we were using, or program, I guess we were using, did not want to cooperate, and we ended up with 0 minutes of recording. And we are going to discuss astrology this evening, and it's actually kind of cool because the person that I just happened to speak to last night did numerology, so I think it'll be cool to have, you know, your aspect on things. And so I thought, you know, you can introduce yourself, and then I thought it might be cool to do some sort of like small reading on the year 2021 for everybody.
Okay, that sounds great. So thank you for having me again.
Yeah.
Because the internet decided to eat our first recording.
Right.
So hi, everyone. I'm Ursula Duffy. I am the founder of Ursa Alchemy. I am a professional astrologer and a certified aromatherapist. And through Ursa Alchemy, I offer astrology readings and astrological aromatherapy services. I have a blog, and I make posts about the full moon and the new moon and significant astrological events. And I also create astrological aromatherapy blends for the full moons based on the signs that are involved. And I sell them on my website as well.
Awesome. Well, you got all kinds of fun spiritual stuff for us. I love it.
Yeah.
And the and like when I was saying like kind of the astrological, I think that's how I said it, if I said it correctly or incorrectly, you can stop me. The astrological reading for 2021. I know that's kind of a broad thing, but like last night I had her, the lady that I had on last night, she was like, she gave kind of a thing, the numerological thing for 2021 and how it's, you know, through, we're going to go through a huge change this year. So I thought maybe I could hear what your you know, like what your reading was on 2021.
Yeah. So that is very much in alignment with the 5 year that we just moved into. And that being, you know, definitely a lot about change, but also a lot about finding joy too. Like 2020 was just so heavy in so many ways.
Right.
And, you know, just individually and collectively going through a dark night of the soul in a lot of ways. And now we're shifting into a couple different planetary cycles, elementally as well. And then also going from that 4 foundation year to the 5, to the change, and, you know, just kind of building on that energy of 2020 where the foundation was sort of destroyed, mm-hmm. and coming together in a way where we could pick up the pieces and build things back in a better way.
Right. So kind of like, in a sense, like a new, in a way, you know what I mean? Like what, the old ways that we had, and now we're kind of looking into new ways of living, kind of what you're saying, right?
Yeah. So one of the big things that happened right before the calendar year switched was the, I'm sure everybody's already heard of it at this point, the Great Conjunction, quote unquote, between Jupiter and Saturn. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that was really significant about that It is a 20-year cycle, but this is a big shift from all of the conjunctions for the last 200 years being in the earth elements to now shifting to the air elements. Mm-hmm. So our earth is very much about our physical world, you know, the constructs that we live by, the systems, things that we can touch, see, taste, smell, like our food, our money, that kind of thing.
Yeah, our tangible items. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, the tangible world. And we're shifting into air, which is all about ideas and the intellect. So, and then having that start in Aquarius is huge because one, not only did they come together in that sign, but Saturn and Jupiter switched signs at relatively the same time, which is a big deal as well, because Saturn was in Capricorn for the last 3 years, Jupiter for the last one, and their meetup with a lot of the other planets and that sign was very much responsible for the energy of 2020 in a big way. Mm-hmm. So having the planets not only conjoin in a new sign, but shift signs at the same time is a really big deal.
And you, and how often did you say that that usually happens?
The elemental years with these two planetary conjunctions last around 200 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is like a pretty big deal then to make
it
this
is.
Sort of shift.
Yeah. And Aquarian energy is all about being a rebel, thinking outside the box, doing things differently.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I felt like my rebelness wants to come out this year anyways, you know, like I'm going to do, we're going to change the government. No, I'm just kidding. But
well, we'll see.
Yeah, right. You're like, well, you know, maybe if you're following the signs, right?
Yeah. And it's Aquarian energy it's very futuristic. Like you think about things like astrology is kind of under the umbrella of Aquarius, but it's also very much about community and you're like the overall tribe and people working together. Mm-hmm. So, and humanity, Aquarian's right. Very much about the humanitarian energy, but the one thing to be cautious about is it can have a tendency to be kind of disassociative. So just making sure as we switch into the air, you know, that we're keeping ourselves grounded in this new energy, but also that we're still feeling our emotions and paying attention to a lot of the lessons that 2020 gave us as far as emotional vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. So basically we are, if I'm understanding this correctly, like if you're saying that we're in this, you know, kind of in the new element of air, is this something that's going to be, we're kind of going to be in this into this transition for the next like 200 years is what you're saying? So like in this element of air rather than how we were in earth, or is it
for these two planets specifically? Yes. Okay. As far as them meeting up.
Okay. See, that's why I was asking. Cause I know that they're the different planets mean different, you know, in different years and all that. So I know. So the specifically Saturn and Jupiter, oh my gosh, I was going to say those so wrong together, Saturn and Jupiter, those aligning is just it's a really, really big deal. That's insane. I didn't even know that. I mean, I've been, you know, I look into things, but I didn't look into it really like that in depth to know that it broke down into, you know, the elements and all that. I know we talked about that before, but still.
I mean, the two planets come together every 20 years. So them coming together isn't that big of a deal, but the shift is the big deal.
Okay. And then you also mentioned that before when we were talking, because I wanted to bring a couple of things that we talked about in the last episode. And the only reason I want to say this is because I think that people who are, you know, who are listening or who are just getting started into astrology and things like that, you know, as far as when I gave you my birthday, and my horoscope and my birth chart, I gave you a whole bunch of stuff. Actually, I gave you a few things and you were like, oh, in February you had the shift and it was from, you said it was with Saturn and you're like, and this comes only every 30 years, which I was making the comment that I had the biggest change of my life this year. So it was, you know, and you're like, oh, I really want to know about that. Or I would ask you questions about that. So I just kind of want to talk about that particular, particular situation for me, you know, like, let's just say that if somebody else was to go through that, they had the same, So how do you measure that again? What is it by your, the, in astrology, it's by your horoscope specifically, right? Or is it, what do you go by? I forgot.
So birth date, time, and location are the three pieces of information that we need to cast a complete chart.
Okay, that's right. Okay, so sorry, I'm just rambling on. I have a lot.
No, it's okay.
I have a lot to say tonight. So basically what I'm asking is, so, you know, at that particular time in my life in there, and I know there had to have been other people that were going through some sort of shift, like what would that look like for somebody, I guess? Not necessarily the actual situation, but what, you know, as far as the signs and, you know, the elements and things like that.
Yeah, so the planet Saturn relates to structures and boundaries, maturity, authenticity to an extent, rules, integrity. It is the last visible planet, so that has significance as well as far as it being the boundary between the seen and the unseen realms. Mm-hmm. And it takes 30 years to make a complete orbit around the sun. So the Saturn return is when Saturn returns to the exact degree and minute that where it was when you were born. Right. So everybody that has Saturn in Capricorn just went through their first Saturn return. Well, everyone that was born in the same year as you, mm-hmm, that has Saturn in Capricorn just went through their first Saturn return. So that usually starts to brew around age 27. Mm-hmm. And it is, just think about, you know, the things that we go through when we turn age 30. It's like we start adulting, quote unquote, in a way. Saturn time very much measures our maturity cycles throughout our life. So when you go through that for the first time, it can show up as experiences that really force you to reexamine things in your life, grow up a little bit in a lot of ways. Saturn lessons, I say, can feel very much like being called to the principal's office.
Yeah.
You have to kind of own up to, you know, and it's your choice. I mean, you can make the changes and you know, praise Saturn and say, look, I get this. Like, you're teaching me how to be an authority figure in my own life and that kind of thing. Or you can ignore it. And then, you know, another set of lessons will come up in another 10 or so years. So that's the way the cycle works. It's very different individually because it's very much based on where Saturn is placed in your natal chart, on the house specifically. So that experience is going to be usually flavored by the themes of that house.
Okay. And do you mind kind of explaining, I don't see that, because I don't know enough to know exactly what specific questions to ask you about, you know, knowing your houses and understanding your birth chart, but is there a way for you to explain a little bit about like what the houses mean? You know, and I know I asked you before, like, you know, how you have your moon and then like the sun and rising, I think. I know there's other ways to describe it, but if you could just describe those things a little bit.
Yeah. So the houses first, I'll just touch on main themes of each one. There's 12 of them.
Okay, cool.
So one, and there are like little catchphrases that can help you remember the houses pretty easily. So one, you could say, I am. So it's about you, your physical body, how you work through the world. Two could be, I have. That house is very much about your personal resources, your money, but also self-esteem and self-image. Three is, I speak or I talk. It's very much about communication. Some other themes of that house can be your local neighborhood, siblings, extended family. Four is pretty much home. So that house relates to our family. It can relate a lot to our upbringing. It can also relate to ancestry, our actual home, land that we live on. And one less common thing talked about, the fourth house, is authentic self. Five is the house of joy. So I have fun. It's mostly about romance and our connection to our creativity, our muse, where we get our inspiration from. It can relate to children, so either physical children or ideas that we've birthed into the world. Mm-hmm. Sixth house is very much about health and maintenance of the physical body. It's about our habits and kind of what we do day to day. It's not, you know, five is very much about fun and six is about practice.
Okay.
So the highest expression of the sixth house would be being of service.
Mm-hmm.
And then the seventh house is partnerships, most intimate partnerships like a spouse or a best friend. And it's also the place where we draw people into our lives that teach us about ourselves. It's commonly called the house of mirrors.
Yeah,
it can also be a place where we project from.
Okay.
And then the eighth house is the house that relates to merging resources with other people. So commonly known as the house of marriage, the house of contracts. Mm-hmm. And it's also the house that relates to where we can keep things kind of in the closet in a way. And also the house that relates to taboo subjects. So like death, sex, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ninth house is higher learning, connection to higher self, foreign travel, foreign experiences, religion, beliefs. 10th is very much about public image. It's the career space. 11 is community and future vision, like your tribe, kind of like what we were talking about with that Aquarian energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then 12th is everything outside of ourselves. So where we go, where we dream, where we go to meditate, where we go to retreat. And it's very much related to mental health.
Okay.
So those are the general themes of all the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say with the, I just want to ask a question. I knew this was going to happen. Ask a question about the houses in particular. When you say, so like, let's say if somebody, you know, you're reading somebody's birth chart and then you want to, kind of like describe, or you're looking into like their ninth house or something, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you're looking into that. And I think I might've asked you this before, is it always, like a mix between like your spirituality and kind of like your reality when you look at like the houses? I don't know if that's a right question to ask, or is it kind of, you know, like when you're looking at their houses, is it always kind of like on that spiritual level? Do you get what I'm asking?
It depends. It really matters what people have placed in the house. So what planet and other things that we look at in the chart,
okay. But then
what sign. So if you think of the chart as a play, the planets are the actors, the house is the setting, and the sign is the costume.
That's right. You did say that before. Okay. I knew you said something like that before. Okay.
Yeah. And some people can have houses that are empty natally, which really doesn't mean anything positive or negative. It's just, there's nothing there when you were born. That's not very much emphasized, but as things pass through it, like the moon will go through each house once every 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever things go through it, like big things, like we were talking about Saturn, Jupiter changing signs with the system that I use, that means that they also changed houses. So that's a big deal. That's a big shift for people. And it's all very individual.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely understand that it's going to be individualized. I always ask that question because I know everybody has kind of a different approach, you know, as mm-hmm. far as like, is it more of a, you know, like looking to do more meditation and yoga and you're like, you know what I mean? Just the more spiritual vibe rather than looking into like actual physical, you know, the tangible stuff, like what do you have going on? But like you said, it's a mix of both and it's just depends on what that person's going through at that time and all kinds
exactly.
of, I don't know. There's so much in astrology. Like I know I could probably ask 5 billion questions, but
yeah, we could talk for hours. I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I just know I'm just trying to, you know, think of, you know, somebody that's going into this in the beginning. Cause I know that, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, as well, because you've been in this for so long, there's a lot of people, you've noticed a lot more people getting into stuff like this because a lot of things just shifted and a lot of things weren't making sense. So it's a way to kind of make sense of who you are and, you know, why things are happening to you because, and I know a lot of people always tend to blame like other things outside of their life when it could really be an internal, you know, it could just be something internally.
Exactly.
And I know that that's the type of, like particularly that's the kind of people that you work with, right? Like they kind of come to you and kind of say like, you know, I'm feeling kind of off, or, you know, I'm feeling a very off balance, or maybe, I mean, what are the things that people usually you know, come to you for, or what are some things people could come to you for?
That's generally the gist usually is, yeah. Oh, it's a lot of people that know that there's something more.
Right.
A lot of people are just curious. Mm-hmm. Some people have already seen their chart before, but they like to get a different interpretation. It's a wonderful tool for self-awareness.
Yeah.
If you're feeling off path, like you said, it's a wonderful way to get insight into really what your soul came here to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's what I mean. Cause I think a lot of people don't really understand or may not understand it right at this time, you know, but eventually they might understand that astrology has everything to do with your life, you know, when you really, mm-hmm. if you really look into it. So I guess like another thing we could talk about is maybe just talk a little bit about the blends and stuff that you do at certain, because I know you said you do it at like on moon cycles and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about doing that? So like, let's say somebody's trying to get let's say anxiety, depression, you know, those type of things that people are kind of feeling right now, you know, really stressed out. So like, what are some things that you would suggest for somebody right now, kind of going in that transition from leaving 2020 and, you know, coming into 2021?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and so the lunar blends are very much about soothing the tension.
Mm-hmm.
And I do one for each full moon. So once a month, I look at the chart of the full moon and figure out what oils will be best. There's always the oil for the sun and the moon, because when the moon is full, they're opposite each other. So that's why full moons are usually very tense times of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll look at the chart and kind of figure out if there's anything that's bringing up more tension. And I'll add either a third or a fourth oil into that blend that synergistically creates a energetic signature for that full moon.
Okay.
If it's a person coming to me with for an astrological or aromatherapy, mm-hmm. reading, that always includes a natal chart reading. And when I do natal chart readings, I also look at where things are in the sky at the moment of the reading. So I'll know if they're in, say, a Saturn return period or something like that.
Okay.
And then we'll do that reading. We'll identify, you know, the soul's intention and, you know, what challenges are there, what lessons, that kind of thing. And then just see where they are energetically. I meet them where they are. And then we talk about areas that, you know, they might feel need work or they want to focus on or that kind of thing. And then I'll create a blend for them based on the energetics of that discussion and that reading.
Okay. And these are all in the blends that you make. These are all external, like you rub it on your skin, right? Or is this something you consume as well?
No, I pray on safety with essential oils and I don't promote consumption.
No, yeah, I was just curious because like I said, I'm learning here. I'm always learning because I've heard, you know, there's controversy.
A lot of information out there.
yeah, there is. There really is. And I just don't want people to be afraid of that stuff. I bring that up because I think that stuff, all natural, any type of herbalistic, and you know, we kind of talked about this, that I'm all about herbs, you know, being the what did you say? Kitchen witch, I think.
Kitchen witch. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I was like, that's so true. You know, I just think it's important for people to know that stuff's available and understand, you know, where it comes from and, you know, how it can help soothe. And I didn't mean to actually pinpoint like anxiety and depression, because we're not doctors. Obviously we can't say, oh, this is going to alleviate, you know, mm-hmm. anxiety. But, and then I wanted for people who are looking at their birth chart, right, for the first time, because they're like, okay, you know what, I'm going to take a stab at this. So for somebody who's first looking at their birth chart, how could you, you know, what could you suggest for them? Cause to first start looking at it and understanding it, like what tools could they use to understand how to read it? Cause I know it can be quite confusing.
You can try on your own. There are, I started this way, so I can speak from experience on this.
Yeah.
There are apps that you can use on your phone. There are websites where you can cast your chart for free and you can push a button and some of them you pay a fee and you can print out a report.
Okay.
So that's great. You can also do, I believe, a transits report on most of them. So that gives you just a, you know, computer programs spit out of what your chart means. Okay. The chart comes alive, I feel, when you get a reading, work with a professional, at least for a basic understanding. If it's just a natal chart reading and that's a one and done and you kind of go from there, great. Mm-hmm. It's also wonderful to get that reading done and then do, you know, check-ins if, you know, you're not interested in learning it on your own. There right. are apps out there, I believe, a few of them that will give you very detailed information day by day. I don't use any of those personally, but I know that there are a few out there. There's one called CoStar. There's one called Sanctuary. There's a couple other ones. Mm-hmm. But I feel like based on starting out that way and trying to do it myself and learn, it's really overwhelming. And just getting one reading at the very least with an astrologer, I think would be beneficial to understanding the dynamics of the chart.
Yeah. No, I could agree with you on that, because I tried doing it and I finally just was like, all right, here you go. Like, I'm just going to need you to read this for me and kind of break this down, because it's a lot. Like, it's not, you can't just look at it and point in this right direction. Because I tried just even doing, you know how they kind of have like the square where it puts your numbers and the houses. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but when I saw that, that just made it even more confusing.
So yeah.
I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like anything. I mean, getting an intuitive reading for some insight, you can read for yourself and that's one thing, but sometimes ego gets in the way and, you know, it's just better to have somebody's neutral perspective.
Mm-hmm. And what, how come you got into astrology? Like, what made you get into it?
It was 100% divine guidance.
Wow.
I think a lot of people can speak to this, having some kind of experience in the year 2017. Mm-hmm. When we had that total solar eclipse that went across our country. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was a big activation in a lot of ways. And totally. For me, I was just getting lots of spiritual messages for like the whole month before that happened. And I was just like almost obsessed with this eclipse for some reason. And I didn't know why.
Yeah.
And it comes to fruition after like a month that it was happening at a very significant part of my chart. And it was an activation for me personally as well. And from then on, like I looked at my chart for the first time, and within like 3 or 4 months, I was enrolled in a 1-year professional astrology program.
Oh my gosh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a wild ride.
Yeah, and where did, what do you, is it like through a accredited university, or how do you go through a program like that? What does that usually go through?
They do have universities. Mine was also divine guidance specifically to my teacher. It's just one person. Yeah, it was strange.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was definitely a unique experience. It was just one person, this astrologer, Adam Summer, who has a certification program. Okay. But so, and they exist out there like that. There are schools, there's, you know, individual people that can certify and just have their own thing. There's a mixed bag out there as far as professional certifications go.
So do you think it's important? Do you feel like if somebody was to do this as more of a profession, that it's definitely important that you do some sort of program like that, at least for a year?
I do.
Okay.
I do. There is value in being self-taught.
Yeah.
I think that it's nice. It's nice to, so we had a very interesting experience where it was a large group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have class and then we would have labs where it was just like whoever wanted to join at that time came to that lab, and we talked for over, you know, 1 to 2 hours about just each other's chart and the topic of the class from that week.
Nice.
So it was a really rich experience in hearing from other people, you know, getting to work with people that have already been practicing for a couple of years that went through the same program, and looking at each other's charts and learning from each other that way.
Right. And is this something that you're thinking about teaching, or do you teach any astrology classes or anything like that, like on social media or anything?
I would like to eventually.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Right now, my heart is in the one-on-one with people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know we all got, I was just curious because, you know, we got so, everybody's just doing all different kinds of things, you know, this year already that just, I can't believe it. So it's really cool. So let's talk a little bit more about like what you do. So you said you do the aromatherapies and you do the, like, talk about more about like what you have on your website and, you know, kind of the stuff that you offer. Cause I know we didn't get to talk about that too much last time.
Okay. So the astrology services are just a basic natal chart reading. And I have those divided up in time frames. So there's a 60 minute, a 90 minute, and a 120, which is actually two sessions. I prefer to have more time with somebody because it allows me to go deeper. So with the 120, that is just 1 hour focused solely on the natal chart and then 1 hour focused solely on the transits. With the other two services, there is still time to touch on all of that, but not to go kind of house by house, planet by planet, and go real deep into the whole chart. The astrological aromatherapy service includes the 60-minute astrology reading, and then that includes two aromatherapy consults where we talk about the first one, we talk about the blend, and like you were saying, do you rub it on the skin? Like, we'll talk about methods of delivery for that, whether it's an inhalation blend, like an inhaler or a diffuser blend or a lotion or a roll-on or something like that. Like, that's all very individual. Mm-hmm. And some oils aren't good for the skin, that kind of thing. So that usually depends on the person very specifically. And then that would be a follow-up 2 weeks later to see how the blend is working, if it needs to be tweaked or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then I have a couple other ones on there. Solar return readings are really fun. That's a great way to celebrate your birthday, because that's the sun returning to the same degree and minute as the time of your birth. So it's usually on your birthday, but not always. Mm-hmm. So those are cool because there's different things that I look at in those readings. When you're looking at a solar return chart, it means something a little bit different than an actual birth chart. And there's a few other factors to play into, like, your own personal year ahead. So that's a great way to get an idea of kind of what lies ahead for the next 365 days for you personally.
Right. So really it always starts with that reading first, and then, you know, kind of after you do that, you can determine whether or not they need the suggest aromatherapies, right? Or just do some more continue. And you said that people, when they do their initial reading, people can just continue to follow up with you. And do you have a way that you do it? Like, do you ever do it every couple? Do you set a schedule with people, or do you just kind of do it when they feel like they need the reading?
Both.
But okay. That's cool.
I have a check-in service on there. One 60 minute, one's 30 minute.
Okay, cool. So
it's, and then
for people to access and get into it. I mean, I know I got on there, but I didn't click on every single thing on there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And the other fun one that's on there is the service that I call iCaptain. Mm-hmm. And that is also two sessions. And that is very much focused on your ruling planet. So when we have date, time, and location, we have the complete chart. Your ruling planet is the planet that rules the rising sign or the ascendant. Mm-hmm. So for you, it's the sun. So we would do like a whole, you know, birth chart reading for the first session. And then the second session would be building a deeper relationship with that planet.
Oh, okay.
That one's really fun.
Yeah, no, it is. Cause I've heard of, you know, moon rituals where you might like put some water out in the moon, you know, and let the moon energize the water, which I have done that. And I did feel different the next day, which is really crazy. And the water even tasted really pure. Like, that was the coolest thing I think I ever did. Like, I know it's so basic, but I just thought that was like so cool to do something like that. So it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, people who are just getting into this, like, this stuff is so fun, you know, and even just like the small little basic things, just learning about the numbers and the house. I mean, there's so much into it. Like, you know, like we said, we could talk about it for hours and hours, and I don't even probably know enough to ask you enough questions. but I'm trying to think, I had a question for you and I lost it when I just said that. I knew that was going to happen. I knew I should have asked it.
That's okay. It'll come back.
Yeah, it will. It will come back to me. Okay, so we mentioned about, because I wanted to make sure we talked about that, because I knew, you know, because like, oh, I know what I was, it did come back to me. So with you going into astrology and you said this is kind of like your passion, have you seen, you know, do you see yourself kind of doing anything else with this or going maybe down a different path? Like, you know, like adding any services, like a, you know, maybe like, I don't know, something crazy like acupuncture or, you know, like maybe pro coaching programs in the future or anything like that. Like, have you thought about doing something like that with it?
Yeah. I have a lot of ideas. I have a lot of thoughts. I'm working on that actually this year and awesome. building it out, growing it a bit, that's offering so cool. more. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Based on my own chart and Jupiter. This is the time to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was just asking because, you know, even though I haven't, I mean, I would love to do, have you read my like full birth chart and do a reading and stuff. I think that'd be really cool. Because I would definitely like, I know when we're talking, it's just kind of funny because I know when we're sitting here talking, I'm thinking about the things that you're saying and the shifts and I'm like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what she's talking about. Like, I know when this happened and that happened and why this, you know, I'm just going through. So it's really cool just even just talking to you kind of made me aware of like, we do go through some, you know, how much astrology really does, you know, make up who we are. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the synchronicities that I've personally experienced, not even talking about what I've witnessed with clients, but the synchronicities in certain things are just like, there's no way. A lot of people just always say, we can't make this stuff up.
Right.
There's a divine timing to everything. And it's very much tied to our planet and the other planets and our galaxy and our universe and all the things outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Cause I know that like this year for me is just, this is a huge, and I know that this is going to sound so like, I don't even know the word for it, basic, but you know, this is definitely a year for me to change as far as just really showing like who Katie is. You know, mm-hmm. like I'm not hiding like this shy, you know what I mean? Just thinking that I don't. And now I don't know. It's just, it's insane. Cause all these people I'm interviewing such amazing people and having such inspiring, you know, intelligent and just everybody from different angles of life on here, you know, and learning so much. It's just like, how am I, you know, what am I doing? Like, I'm so cool. You know, I'm sitting mm-hmm. here. I'm not this cool person. And now I just finally, like, it just hit me like, Katie, you are effing cool, man. Like, just go with it and just be yourself. Like, stop hiding who you are. And that's just what this year is about for me. I know it is. I can just feel it. So
that is so in tune with your chart. It's not even funny.
That's so cool.
And you feel it. Like, you can feel it. It's a tangible thing in a way that's just, it's inside of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just went through this whole Saturn return experience. You're finally on the other side of it. And that is very much like the first Saturn return, this was described to me in a perfect way that I totally get where I, you know, handled my experience in a different way. But you realizing this now, the Saturn return, after that's, you know, that the tumultuous part is done, you can go down the Saturn path in a way. Or mm-hmm. the Uranus path. And the Saturn path can be just status quo for a lot of people, just kind of like not really, really individuating.
Mm-hmm.
Uranus path is the spark that comes after the Saturn return. And really, really at that point in time, around the age of 30, becoming who you truly are and realizing it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if you don't, then around the time you turn 40, 42, then Uranus comes back around and says, hey, I was there 10 years ago and look what you did. So now it's time to really talk about this individuation thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. It's really, I mean, it's just it kind of just gives me, I mean, I'm sure that you get this all the time too. Like when you get the chills and you're just talking about something and you can't mm-hmm. help, but you know, and it's like, it's not cold in here. Like I know this stuff is real.
Yeah.
Going on.
That is my body saying there is resonance here. Listen.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So cool. I love it. It's so fun to talk about this stuff though, you know, because not everybody can just sit and talk about, because some people think we're weirdos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all fake. There's nothing to it. It's not real.
Yeah. That always happens.
Yeah. Oh, and to those people, it's just, you know, don't you feel something when you look up at the sky?
Yeah, I know. Right. And that's another thing too. Like I'm such a stargazer. Like I'll go outside. Mm-hmm. As soon as I see the stars outside, I'm like, oh, you know, anything. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that? What, which one is that? You know,
mm-hmm.
I love doing that. It's so cool.
Yeah. If anything, it's part of the point is to just fall in love with the mystery.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I don't think I have any other questions for you is there anything else that you think we should, you know, tell our listeners tonight about like the year 2021?
Yeah. Well, the other thing that has to do with the elements is for the next 2 years, another shift that happened is all the Mercury retrograde and Mercury cycles have mm-hmm. gone from water to air. So we're heavy on the air for the next several years,
yeah,
which is, that should feel different too. Mercury is all about the way that we communicate, our intellect. I know that Mercury retrogrades are infamous for the things that they, you know, the technology glitches and that kind of thing.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. It's really a time to pause and reflect on when these things happen. What's the lesson? What's the planet trying to teach me?
Right.
And working with the cycle rather than getting frustrated or blaming, you know, things that happen on it. It's just, there's power in the pause. So this time around, water's very much about our emotions and our intuitions. The shift to air, like I said before, is about our intellect and our ideas. So I'm hoping that with the shift in the, you know, Jupiter and Saturn, but also with Mercury, that this does bring a new way of doing things and thinking about things into our consciousness.
Yeah, definitely. Because if anybody knows, I mean, you really, once you dig, you know, you dig deep down inside and you really have the answer, like nobody else can do it for you or get it for you. And I also think, you know, what's cool about astrology as well, like it's such a positive thing, you know. I mean, there can be some like some negative, but it's positive in a sense that it really just makes you face everything you don't want to, but it's like the best thing that you could do for yourself. If you understand what it's really doing, you know, like it's not just, oh, the moon and the sun and the stars. It's no, when this is aligned and when, you know, you're having this relationship at this time and this job, you know, it all. And I guess I basically what I'm saying too is I think it's amazing. And I think more people should be into this stuff. I really do.
I totally agree with you.
I really do.
And that goes back to that self-awareness piece. Like you said, like everything you just said speaks very much to where things are happening and what houses. The moment that you're born, you have this energetic imprint in the natal chart, and then everything continues to move from that point forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not only influenced by the energetics in our chart alone, but also how things are moving and the energetic aspects that the planets are creating in relation to our natal chart as well.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Yeah. Well, I will make sure I do have your links, and I don't know if you want me to share your Facebook or anything, but I'm always happy to, you know, include that in the description. And then if you have, you know, any events or anything new, I'm always, you know, later on, like down in the year, or if we decide to do another episode together, you know, I love being able to promote that kind of stuff because that's what I'm here for. And that's what we're here to, you know, do is connect and give good things to the community, right?
yeah the website link would be primary.
Okay,
that would be the place to go for everything, and subscribing to my mailing list. I'm not as active on Facebook right now. I still have my Instagram account, but if you subscribe to my email list, then you'll get my blog posts and my monthly newsletter. I put a lot of content in that. And then you'll also know when I have the full moon blends for sale. And then, you know, how I'm growing things in the year. That's the best way to stay in touch is to subscribe.
Cool. Yeah. I will definitely have to share. I'll have to get on your blog too. I've been getting more into that. So
cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for, you know, doing the Zoom call too. I appreciate that.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Well, I will talk to you soon.
Hey, everybody. This is KT. I just wanted to thank you for tuning in, and I hope you have a wonderful, beautiful, lovely day.